This is CliffCentral.com.
How's it, guys, and welcome to the Futurology Show. I am probably sounding like the Energizer Bunny and more happy and excited than normal because I am pleased to say that I'm finally having a threesome on radio.
Woohoo!
And now everyone's wishing it was visual. So I have me, B1, Brett Lindsay, B2.
Hi, Brett.
Hello, hi, Brett. And I have Brett Bomber, B3. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett. And hi, Brett.
Hi, how's it?
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Brett.
We've all wanted to do that,
yeah.
Eh?
Come on. This is circle, the infinite loop
it's
of Brett.
It's been a long time coming. Oh.
Jeez.
Right.
So, this is where it's going.
This is where
the
it's
whole
going.
Time.
We
I
knew
said,
it was going to go.
As I said earlier, the last time we had this much awesome, or anybody had this much awesome in one place, it was Google I/O. And I'm so glad that's the topic of the day.
Well, I'm funny that you should mention
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Brett, did I steal your thunder?
Yeah,
then? Sorry,
no, it's
Brett.
All good.
Sorry, Brett.
Okay, so okay, normally we do app of the week, we wax lyrical and all that. Guys, today I do want to do an app of the week. I just feel that my little OCD requires that I have to still keep some normality. And then, bang, guys, Google I/O 2016.
Yay.
So, if anyone wants to join in on this conversation today, 0861-555-189. Hit us on Twitter, Facebook, WeChat, etc. But this is going to be epic. So, app of the week. We keep talking about how much we love virtual reality. And each week I've found something that was in a VR space. So, I thought only makes sense then if I'm not going to wax lyrical too much that we talk about Verse. V-R-S-E. It is an unbelievable little phone app for virtual reality. So what these guys have done is they've taken content, movies, all kinds of really cool stuff, and they've made it available for iOS and Android. And that's the last time I mention iOS today because this is the Google I/O 2016 day. You use it on Cardboard. And basically, full VR experience with Cardboard, and we're off to go. So, on that note, Brett.
Yes.
Which Brett?
Hey, man, I'm ready.
All right. Well, are we
I'm
ready?
So glad I'm not listening to this.
Okay. Oh, at least he's honest. Should we just turn his mic off now? I mean, he's come here being. Just tell me something. The first time, B3, that you were in radio, was that you? Was that Cliff Central?
Well, my first time?
Yeah.
Was it with. You're talking you and I first time?
Yeah, yeah.
Was or that, radio
was that your
first time?
No, your first time.
I think it was pre-teens was my first time, Brett.
Okay.
Geez, that was a long time ago.
we've taken a lot of virginities on this station, but I'm pretty sure it's the first threesome you've had on air.
It's definitely first.
I'm sure there was a reason for you to be interviewed once or twice before this.
Fantastic. It was. I've done quite a bit of radio in my past, you know, like popular stations, like maybe. You know,
occasionally you had something to say.
The local Four Ways FM.
Oh, there we go. Standing with a loud hailer at the robot asking for money for a bachelor's doesn't
clean up
count.
An aisle 9 doesn't count as radio. I'm just saying.
Come on, guys. I thought if you're loud enough.
Not really. Right. Okay. So.
Shut up, Brett.
Bang. Okay. Google I/O 2016. So man. For everyone that doesn't know, tune off now. Go and listen to, I don't know, Radio Sonne Grenze or something.
We'll tweet.
Basically.
tweet some stuff for you now.
Basically, Google and Apple once a year put on a show of shows where they release and talk about everything that's going to be happening, what they're doing, all the cool new stuff they've invented. And more specifically, it has a developer's focus. So this is aimed at people that are building the cool shit that you get to use on your devices thanks to Google. So this year was no different, and wow, did they blow us away. I mean,
geek fest of note.
I mean, it made Comic-Con look like a freaking boring nunnery type thing.
I think half of Comic-Con was there.
Probably. Without their dress.
Yeah, nobody was in cosplay. Nobody recognized anybody.
Exactly.
I don't even actually know how to start or where to start, so I'm going to just shoot off one topic. Of one of the things that came out, because it was just so many unbelievable things.
I'm going to try and find a list just now, and we're just going to rattle off all the things, because there were so many things that happened at Google I/O this time. It was unbelievable.
But okay. big platform plays.
So, yeah, so and big changes to standard stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so let's start then with Google Assistant and Home. Okay.
Okay.
Google Assistant Home. So
that was the teaser clip you tweeted last week.
That was the teaser clip. I actually didn't realize I had a German subtitling on there. One of my friends is like, oh, no, what, you speaking to Dutch? I said, no, that's just what pulled through. But thanks to Google Translate, I understand what you're saying to us. But anyway, so Google Assistant is the engine behind a new product called Google Home. And what it is if you've seen the Amazon Echo, it's like a little... I don't describe it. It's like, what, 20 centimeters high?
It's like a tennis ball canister, basically. It's all black.
Is an echo when you hear Brett's being fired off again.
Brett.
And
when
again.
You fired off again, fired again and again Brett. And again. Brett.
Fired off again.
That's an echo, good. Isn't
one
it?
Of those.
Something like that. It was a weird echo. We've got to work on that.
Weird. Okay. So what it does is basically it's taken the power of listening.
They made Siri. I'm
well,
just going to throw it in
there. No, we can't even say that. You know, we can't even say that because Siri sucks when it comes to accents. I mean, you have you ever seen an iPhone?
Believe
user
me, most of my family is Scottish. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Even, have you seen that clip?
Yes.
You've got to Google that clip. So with Android Listen, let's call it that, because I actually don't, or Assistant as they call it, you can talk and it talks back and it listens, but it's intuitive. And the video that they used at I.O. was basically... The guy wakes up in the morning, says, turn on the music playlist, and it starts playing. And then he goes, well, the one kid's still sleeping, so just make it louder in that room. And
the turn the light on.
Yeah, turn the light on. But the thing that really, really hit it home for me of how powerful this tech is that Google talks to the mother figure, and she goes, your flight's been delayed by half an hour. Her response, please move my booking or my reservation for supper out and notify the person I'm meeting. And Google goes, okay, reservation now at 8:00. And I've sent an SMS or whatever to so-and-so. I mean, really.
And guys, it's technology that's working now.
That's the freaky part. It happens. You know, it's now.
I have a play with Google now where they started the AI experience or the bot experience or assistant experience. And it actually works.
And within context, which is the key.
Context.
Yeah, it's gotta got to be relevant right now.
At the time, location.
I know who you are. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it real. I mean, we're playing around with AIX and Amy Ingram and Andrew Ingram, the mailing assistants, and they can do so much, provided your calendar's up to date and it's all working and you're talking to them. But eventually the conversation will level out at some point. You can't, I mean, it feels like you can almost have a conversation now with Google.
But that's what they're
like
doing.
It's like that movie, Girl.
Huh?
Is it cool?
I don't know.
Is it the AI system where he falls in love with the
AI
system?
We watch
Simone
movies that you don't have to watch. Yeah. Yeah, you see, we watch movies that we don't have to watch at night by ourselves. Girl, and I don't know.
You're setting myself up.
ETV.
ETV. Okay, so basically, home, they didn't give a launch date for the actual little device, did they? They didn't mention
coming soon. Doesn't that mean in three?
Yeah, in the future.
I'm sure that will be around before Christmas. I mean, that's the kind of gift that people would want. And knowing Google, looking at all the other devices that they've launched, their pricing's not bad. So we're not going to get something that's like, oh, that's awesome. And then you've got to sell 30 kids and 2 pints of blood to get
one. Anyone remember the round orb they had? They made an attempt at it, that black orb.
I vaguely remember that.
I just can't remember what it was called now.
Orb?
Cubed.
Right? Yes, but it was somewhere. Bluetooth to your phone as well, so it wasn't exactly its own smart device.
Yeah, that's right.
I do remember that.
And they pulled that very quickly.
No, this thing stands on its own. I mean, it plugs in and it talks and it's and it registers multiple accounts. That's what makes it amazing. You were talking about Siri.
Yeah.
Siri is you and your phone and you talk to it. This is family, home.
Multiple accounts, multiple Chromecasts. Across the house.
Yes.
So you control the streaming environments and zones. That's very sexy.
It's
very
the HAL 9000. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry.
I can't do that. Can you imagine that?
There's no Dave's on this show, please. It's Brett.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Brett.
But Brett's don't get reprimanded by computers. We tell computers where they go. Yeah. Or we'd like to think anyway. But the nice thing about just context, it's not just context in what the Google Assistant does. It's context in everything else that they displayed for the rest of Google I.O. They had Assistant and it's part of Home. Then they go into the rest of the tech, which we'll get to. And you see how the context and Assistant actually plays a role in each one of those new releases, which is...
It's insane.
Pretty awesome.
Not a Brett Echo. Oh, we've got a message that's come through from another Brett. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if Brett is listening, whether you're talking about a Brett Echo or you're talking about an actual Echo.
I think not at this point you've got to be a Brett to be listening to the show.
Okay, well, Brett Loebscher, if you're listening, call us, buddy. You can join in. I'm quite happy to turn this threesome into an orgy. There's no problem. So give us a call on 0861-555-189.
Bring a new definition to self-indulgence.
Right, so I really don't want to run out of time, and I know we're going to.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't get, Brett 3, Bomber, your thoughts. Allo and Duo. So quickly again, just to put the layover. Allo is a new messaging app and Duo is a new video calling app. The only reason I could see Allo is that it had contextually aware, which B2 you were talking about now, in that if I say to you, Brett, let's go for supper, Allo will take that and say, well,
which Brett?
Yeah. No, yeah. We'll know which
that
one.
That would be the ultimate test, hey? Like, you want context? Three of us, let's go. Which Brett's talking? Go, hello.
Okay, so back to just a Brett and Bob, okay? Dave. It would actually say, well, if you want to go to supper, what about trying this new place because it's located between you and where Bob is? Now, that's good. But it's another messaging app. And surely everyone's learned that, like, WhatsApp has killed messaging. It's WhatsApp or nothing. So...
I know that we're on the Google I/O thing, and I'm hugely excited for all the things that they've launched, but I'm just going to be the other side of it.
Yeah.
They created iMessage and FaceTime. Just saying. What's the difference? And that's what people want to know as well. What's the difference? And some of the cool things were that the Duo, their version of video calling, it can operate on very low bandwidth. So you get great quality, great usability on Duo with it, even an Edge, which is fantastic. And then going forward into the pre-video, so you, before
okay,
you even answer,
that's not Duo. So yes, you've Duo. Left Allo. So Allo is
Allo
messaging.
Allo is cool, Duo's and then the whisper, the whisper and shout was a win. So now, when you actually type a message, you've got that, like, before you send, you just hold and push and hold, and you can slide up for a shout and slide down for a whisper.
So some clever user interfaces.
Yeah, and they've thought about it. I mean, it's how people are using it.
Deep integration of their assistant. Deep integration of search. So I do agree with you. I think they've taken a lot of lessons out of the Hangout environment.
Yes.
Which, you know, I enjoy Hangout. Yes. I think it's a fantastic video calling facility, but the chat elements are a bit clunky.
But what you're saying there is, Allo should have been integrated into any of the other Google protocols we already have.
It probably will,
No, but they have... No, they didn't say that. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah,
they'll need to take a back step and do that. But at the moment, it's another freaking messaging app. Now, you were talking about Duo, okay? Mm. So Duo is the video version. Brett 3, you've just mentioned Hangout, okay? Mm. They didn't need another video. And the big selling point, one, battery life, I agree. But two, you can pre-see the person phoning you. So let me think about that for a second. You phone me. Your name comes up and it goes, it's you. I don't need to see you picking your nose while you're waiting for me to answer, because that's effectively what it is. They call
I will
knock,
just be
knock.
Showing you beers. Like,
okay, that's
just well, every time.
I have to admit, it was a real hit. The guy who demoed it at the Google I/O, having his kids
waving, jumping around,
and then
and
hanging
then
up on
them. It was awesome. Oops.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
I don't know. I think out of the whole of I/O, playing in the messaging space, it's risky.
It's difficult. I think, you see the key players for me it's WeChat and WhatsApp.
100%.
And you know, WeChat's definitely going after the emerging markets.
Yeah.
WhatsApp's really tied up the upper end of the market. Just watching those two power weights thrashing out it, and now along comes Google. If they don't do that deep integration, I think they're going to suffer.
And I think that's what we're going to see because, let's be honest, even with Google Plus, it didn't work. They came on board because of the strength of the others, and it still didn't. So I hope they don't throw this tech away because it's fantastic. But please, guys, put it into something else.
Yeah.
On that note, where we had maybe a little bit of a downer moment there, Android Instant Apps. Holy.
Clever.
Holy, holy, holy. I'm not even going to swear.
Genius holy, holy. Cubed.
Okay. So I need to again explain for those that are tuning in. So... I use Pinterest as an example. I don't have Pinterest. You have Pinterest. You send me a pin. I can't see it because it tells me you don't have Pinterest downloaded. Now, they've gone about that whole get install model. Android Instant Apps, I'm busy looking at a menu on my menu cooking app. I think B3 could use this menu. I send it to him. And without opening, you don't need the app, but you can have that whole app experience because of a module that they've allowed. I have to say, holy shit, how brilliant is that?
So, but think about the big challenge with apps is search, discoverability.
Yep.
So, I mean, even my days on AdMob, we were trying to solve discoverability in the app space. No one's unlocked it.
Yeah.
And I guess it was Google's responsibility to unlock it. But now you literally search in a web environment or any search environment, and you get this deep dive experience.
This
into
is exactly
an
what
app.
You need there.
Oh, it's fabulous. They've just completely unlocked the app ecosystem where I think, you know, I'm reading a lot of articles at the moment where guys who are investing in apps are on this losing battle. I know in South Africa we all still app-ho.
Yeah.
But right now it's very difficult to get the number of people on board using your app.
Yeah.
If you're not one of the top I don't know, what is in South Africa, 28 apps on your phone,
you just don't
exist. Yeah. How do you play on that game? You need some other discoverability engine. Biggest play,
but I mean,
fabulous.
You know, for those people that don't develop apps and don't actually understand the pain that goes into it, you know, you put 5-6 months of your life into building it. You put all your money into it. You put into the store. You think it's the best thing in the world, and so does your mother and your son.
It's like being able to sing good.
But that's the thing. It's like the
shower.
Yeah.
But the biggest challenge is when you send me something, I go, well, why should I download it? Because one, you're talking about data and or bandwidth. And two,
yes. If it takes more than too long, I'm just like, install.
But that's my point. Now, you can have that full experience. Mm. And at the end, it goes, oh, and if you like this, download
like
now. Yeah. And not only that, the module that you've already got doesn't re-download. You've already got that
already
module.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Amazing.
It's like a cache.
That is
it blew me away. I mean, you know, I'm sitting
here,
I'm getting...
Will apps become mobile web?
But
yes.
I guarantee it.
Distributed
it's
on
like
the
laser
cell phone
disc. We've all made our money. Thank you for coming. We're back to websites.
The new cloud is actually everyone's cell phones where you install your app to run it.
Do you mind if we just use your... That's a great idea. Crowdsource cloud.
Oh, but hold on a second. Think about what you've just
hit
said
it here
now
first.
As well.
Patented,
YouTube'd, yeah. But no, we got that by default. Take what takealot.com does. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not an app. It's a web canister. It pulls web content. But they've
created
made
a hybrid, yeah.
So that's what we
they're reversing it.
We actually you guys always give me the one for BlackBerry widgets, guys. It's where it started.
Sorry,
what
the lines got funny again?
BlackBerry
had widgets.
I'm allowed to talk about it. BlackBerry
what?
Priv Android Google.
Okay, okay.
Right?
Okay, well now
Priv onwards.
You see,
but all you've got in that argument is Android.
Okay, all I'm saying is that we had widgets that took us to websites. Okay,
yes.
Then we evolved into apps. And that actually killed that whole market.
But well done to them for actually getting that sort of mindset through to people with devices.
But
now we can...
Now we're talking about going back
to...
Because it's web and it's HTML and it's sexy. Okay? It's interesting. And I put my head up and I say, yeah, maybe 3 to 4 years. I think something like banking, you need that security. Yeah. You have to have that canister and that app. It's a token.
We talk about it the whole time, trying to figure out... We'd love to build a hybrid ecosystem.
Mm.
You know, but the experience... Just getting that user experience fabulous and the security canisters, right?
Expectations, man, are the highest.
You know, this is all difficult.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe going down this route might make life easier.
Mm. If Google have got it, use it.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure they do. That's the thing. And that's what's so awesome about it. I mean, these IOs and even the iOS events, guys, it's the holy grail.
This IO was the first one that honestly scared me. It's like the first one that I watched and I was like,
they've like released everything.
What? That's awesome. And then, like, I hadn't even finished with the awesome of the first thing, and I was already onto, like, three down. I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I actually had to pause and walk away for a little while.
And then they broke into each section,
yes,
and it got more awesomer.
Yes.
Well, there was 123 breakouts.
That was fantastic.
I mean, those poor little guys' heads, but they must have come in there like cone heads. Like, you know, drinking.
Now, imagine trying to compete.
Yeah.
You can't,
no, you got why?
I'm building my own app, and I'm going to try compete against 100,000 software engineers dropping 200 new features.
You will drink more beer.
That sounds like
I can tell you that, because that's
someone,
all you've got to do. You will drink more beer. Because
that sounds
you're
like
going to be like
from an attitude from a bank, maybe? I don't know
where that's coming from.
Okay.
Just one interesting thing.
Yes.
On the instant apps thing.
Yes.
Everybody with like the new Galaxy S6 or the S7 are thinking, great, I've got this. But they made it legacy capable as well. So they went all the way back to Jelly Bean and later, which
I didn't know that.
Well done.
Applause,
so
applause.
So all you guys with your, you've already invested in your phone, you've got your S4, your A3, or your A5, and you're actually using it now. Exactly.
There we go.
Well done. But Google, I mean, it's nice to show that they actually do care about the little guy. Sometimes everybody's thinking like, Google, you're just wanting to drop the next great tech and you push the next device.
Question is, did they make themselves irrelevant by literally 5 minutes later announcing auto OS updates in the background?
Yeah, so you don't get the update.
No, because if you take somewhere like Africa, I was going to say they've done is they've made themselves even more relevant in that.
More irrelevant or relevant?
No, relevant, because now they're saying even if you've got old devices, we still love you and you can still...
Yeah, but
still...
I mean, so in two steps, they've gone backwards to help the guys with existing handsets. I guess no Wi-Fi connectivity, but in the same... kind of statement they're saying, well, actually, you'll never have to worry about the latest version of your OS because we'll always just bitstream
it in the
background.
We need you to have instant apps because we need to hoard your bandwidth and your data for what we want to do.
Mm.
That's pretty clever. I mean, if you think about it as well, everybody's going very content rich. We're all content producers with our devices.
Yeah.
I don't know how many photos or videos you've got on your own personal device, but it's a trade-off between how many apps do I have and how much personal data do I have. So this instant app.
I have to admit, I don't have any photos on my phone. Google's photo application.
Yeah, cloud, me too. It's
which
fantastic.
They announced that whole AI stuff, the advancements they've done on doing Google search. So I was actually used it this weekend. I was trying to show a friend of mine, my daughter, playing netball, some of her photos.
Yeah.
And I just went and looked for Lily.
And
I got all her photos.
You.
And then I went netball. And got all the netball photos. Yeah, and then amazing, he fell off my chair.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You didn't
And now
tag
they're
going to
do... I didn't tag him.
No, but it does. It and does do that for you. And then it looks for items like cars, netballs, and it puts folders.
And they're going a step further. They're doing things like hugs.
So like if
I hug somebody.
Oh, okay.
So let's go find... You know, I mean, that's quite a like cushy, lovey, like, oh, man, that's just so
just
awesome.
See your wife. Hi, Google. Infidelity.
Threesomes. Cliff Central.
Hashtag. Did you guys look at wear at all? Because I always berate wearables. Yes. You know what I mean?
I always admit, say, like, my list of things, it had not so interesting.
Yeah. They put a Doze technology for battery life and sustainability. Yeah. I was expecting more because
apps running on their own on the hand, on the actual device that was quite nice.
Yeah, but the thing is that kills battery even more, and that's so wearables. I think the only one that's actually really got it right at the moment in the last quarter is Fitbit.
Yeah,
you know, they acquired Coin, which is the payment gateway. Yeah. So now you've got pure payment instead of like Apple Pay or Google Pay, that is will work with everyone because it's an open end switch. And that wearable now is functional. You can go to gym and pay for your coffee or whatever.
Wearables and payments. I think it's a big movement.
Oh, for sure.
It's like voice platforms.
Yeah. Well, they reckon that over 20% of search this last year
20%,
is voice.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
So you start thinking about, okay, that is US-based. So we need to dig
is
into.
The rest of the world? Is
where we are.
That's the problem with the American Silicon Valley-based companies.
Don't be first world victims in a third world environment.
So guys, a quick little piece of information. The guy who runs the voice recognition project in Google
Steve
is
Hawking.
South African.
Oh, wow.
I should be tarred for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everyone's got a funny accent.
Is his name Brett by any chance? Because we could have him on the show. That'd be great. If you're listening, tweet us. I just assume you're tweeting and you're listening in. Give us a call.
Steve, that is.
Steve.
Hey, they got him to sing Happy Birthday to Sheldon on the Big Bang, so why the hell can't he
brilliant.
Be involved? This is the voice and pitch of Simon's voice. that's who sang it. But sorry, just one thing about wearables. So the stuff that they launched now, the actual wearables available, maybe not now, but in the next couple of months, great. They had a project called Project Soli. I don't know if you saw that at Google I.O.
I didn't.
So that's all about the wearables, but it's around fabric integration.
Yes,
the new
gestures.
And the new radar technology in the watch. So you're able to move your hand close to the watch and it would actually bring up a menu. You'd be able to rub your thumb and forefinger together and actually change through menu systems, never touching the device.
Power. But for me, combine that with the voice.
Yes.
You've got a whole new platform now.
Back to the future.
Of taking voice and because how we talk is we use gestures. So you combine those two. We've finally got a real interface there.
They did announce, I think, you know, I've been so like Google excited for the last 10 days. I don't know if it was announced at I.O. just before, but they did a partnership along what you term with the Soli with Levi's that the first wearable jacket will come out. They're going to make a denim jacket
that
not only lets your devices plug in and power, but the gestures and the movements and that of your jacket will also take care of what you need.
So Levi's were on board with that big time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Nike's been playing in that space for a long time with inserts and that kind of stuff. It's all going to happen with Internet of Things, with the kind of APIs that Google's making available to us. I think Google I.O. 2017 is going to absolutely flatten us off our chairs.
Jeez,
if this
about,
is the stuff they've
talk about humans
now,
not being satisfied with what
no,
we get.
Think
he's
about
already
it.
Like 2017.
Next
bro.
Thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else.
Yes,
no,
right.
but the thing is that everything they've released now will be out, and what the learnings from that, what they'll show us next year. I mean, it's...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this was the first... I mean, we've watched a couple of I.O.s, and you're like, you kind of... expect a certain amount of things. You're like, yeah, okay, cool, that makes sense. And a couple of things came around, you're like, wow, that's freaking awesome, we can do that. This was the first one, like I said, that
tied
I looked at
together.
I was just like, holy shit, this is amazing. It makes sense now. Google's been doing this over this time and now they've got it.
So I keep thinking about Soli and Project Aura.
Yes.
So you just take that solely as a module that plugs into Project Aura, which is the modular phone.
Perfect. I think let's unpack that a little bit further.
Yeah. So actually, who wants to pick up on that, the modular phone?
Well, so, you're on it, so let's go.
What's great about it, okay, they launched it about 2 years ago. What was the phone blocks?
Phone blocks. Yeah.
Acquired them, and it's about breaking every single piece of the hardware into components. Now, if you think about software gives you that flexibility to do anything you want to do.
Unless it's Apple. You can only do what they tell you can do. And even then you can't do it.
In the action, they will do it. Yeah.
Sorry, Apple, but this is a Google show.
So what's great about that is now you've got hardware that's as componentizable as software. So when you open up that platform, instead of like going, I'm going to buy a phone, I'm actually going to buy a Leica camera that I'm going to slot onto this. I'm going to get a Bose sound system unit plugged into it.
I'm going to mug you when you walk out of here if you have one of those devices.
Well, I mean, you can just imagine the experience. What's important to me, and I don't have to keep swapping my phone out. I've got the platform, and I just, what's it, 6 different components. I can swap and shape and change. Battery's dying. Get rid of that. Nice, easy plug in and go.
Well, you know,
amazing.
What came out of that project, which now obviously Google's acquired and we're going to actually see a real device, my son is Minecraft mad.
Oh,
I mean, he lives on Minecraft. Now, if you take the whole block concept of how you build in Minecraft, do you remember the experiment that AT&T did? They built a phone in Minecraft that phoned someone in the real world and even did a video call. So they actually had a video call from Minecraft showing the person they were phoning their Minecraft world. But they had to build it in blocks. And the guy was actually saying, and you need a big enough screen to be able to see us because of the res. We need memory. We need a speaker. This is what it's all about. So
Brilliant. You
want a Leica because you're taking pictures of your child or your dog or whatever it is. For me, battery's king. I'm prepared to give up all kinds of stuff.
Give me 20 days.
Correct.
I'll take four components for battery.
But not only that, hot swap finally becomes a reality. You could carry another module and just bang it on.
Yeah, because you never have to turn the phone off.
Correct.
Even if you pull the battery unit out, it's got a spare,
it's got its own
underlying power source.
So those are things that consumers are going to do. Imagine like all this open source. Now we've got clever people applying their brains to code and all this. Now we've got clever people applying their brains to phone blocks.
Hardware.
Sorry, Aura.
Yeah.
And
But for the Internet of Things, can you imagine how that works as making your little M2M devices? So.
Did you just turn on another microphone?
What happened?
I'm loud.
Okay.
It's cool. Hi. Hopefully you can all hear me.
We had a 10T, IT 10T.
It was a PepCac connect era.
Okay, cool.
It's completely me.
All right. So a little bit of joviality. We all know that they
that's
named
exactly
their,
what the show needs.
No. But I mean, like one of the things I didn't invent, but even just in Google spirit, every rendition of Google is named after a food. We've had jelly bean and lollipop and that. So now N. Everyone's wondering, what's this N? The guys came up on stage and go, well, it's crowdsourcing. You get to name the next version of Android. So open up a website. The one that I like is Nutella. I mean, that's just quite cool.
Nutella is cool.
But the one that was leading the thing was not an iPhone. So Google N is not an iPhone. Remember that shit they wanted to name Silly Silly Sad Face or whatever? So it's not an iPhone. Anyway, so Google N, that's the thing behind it. Even that, they even made that engaging. That, you know, they're going out to the guys and saying, well, you name it. We've named it. Yeah. Your turn. I'm sure it will be a food. It's going to have to be a food.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my bet is on Nutella.
But cool features of the N were they actually went back to existing problems that people have been having
performance.
With Android. So performance is one. The others, have you ever tried to have you're multitasking on your phone, and you've got to close every single individual thing. Now they've got a close all button. Sounds stupid, but that's going to save so much.
I think the crowd cheered the loudest for
that. I think so. Like, there was Daydream, which we'll get to just now, and all the other stuff that they talk about, which is just mind-blowing, and close all. Oaks went mad.
Okay, so let's go to Daydream.
What did you push, Brett?
I haven't pushed anything.
Okay, cool.
Are we still here?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think you just got blown away by Daydream.
There's only one Brett driving at the moment, and down.
And I'm going to blame Brett.
B3 and B2 are freaking out. So if we're just not here anymore, you know why.
Okay, well, I can hear everyone. Can you hear you?
I can hear you.
Can you hear you?
Is it my mic?
Can Brett Lobsher hear us? Because that's important. As long as we've got one listener in the show, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, no, we're all good.
But okay. Yeah, so the features were fantastic. And they released it with this great new thing called Vulkan, which is the GPU feature. So allowing a lot more enhanced gaming operability on the phone, which is really, really cool because people are spending so much more time on their phone. If the batteries start to last longer, people's engagement's only going to keep getting
on. Sort of feeling like a PS4 there.
It really is.
With all the reflections and rain and shadow effects blurring.
But mobile gaming is a whole, guys. Incredible. I mean, it's really, in the last 18 months, has become next level. The files are getting smaller, graphics are getting bigger, and I think it's the processing speeds as well.
And they're introducing VR now. So, I mean, you're going to put this into the Gear VR, and you're going to have your eyes that close to your screen.
Daydream.
Okay, well...
Well, Daydream.
No, Daydream VR. But yeah, so you've got the Gear VR, you've got whatever you got on it, but you're going to have your eyes that close to a lens. If the graphics aren't up to par...
You lose the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, they've had to work on this. If you're going to introduce this new realm of engagement, improve it.
I mean, I remember the early days of... what's the Facebook one?
Huh?
Oculus Rift.
Oh, Oculus.
Yes, which is part of the Gear VR. Yes.
Yeah. Tried it out and... I remember we had to run a seriously high-performance machine to run it, and you could still feel a slight stutter, and you suddenly realize it's not that kind of awesome. But in my notes here, I've literally got so, with about 1,000 O's, freaking awesome that they're getting that to work on a mobile device.
Yes.
But they did caveat it only on... Daydream ready devices.
Yeah, I saw that.
You had to do something. If you're gonna give everybody what's it, instant apps, you gotta
find a balance.
No, but even in their defense there, so what you're probably not aware of is the reason that Apple bought Mateo last year is because in the days when they were still friends with Qualcomm has been threatening to put an SDK onto their chipset that allows VR to run within the hardware as opposed to as an app, which is how it currently runs. So all that Google's actually doing is they're saying, guess what? We've done it. Someone's made a processor that's now, they're calling it Daydreams. It's Daydream ready. It's ready to go. I think let's just quickly tell people what Daydream is about. So Daydream is Google's own version of virtual reality, both headset as in hardware. And what they've done that I thought was really cool is a little remote control. Brilliant. I mean, that's like thinking. You put your phone inside a device. How the hell do you touch it? Bingo, there's a remote.
Yep.
So they've got the remote. They've gone for high-end lenses. So Google Cardboard's still got its place, and they said so. They said it's not going anywhere.
It's been like 100,000 different types of Google Cardboard.
Yeah. I know. It's launched the whole industry.
It's awesome.
I mean, you know. But Google Cardboard's for guys that are looking to get into it. It's to experiment. It's not a barrier to entry financially. I mean, they're like $5-6 for a cheap set of cardboard. Once you've got into it and you want the better experience, now you've got Daydream. Now you've got a comfortable headset with really good lenses, a remote control, so you don't have to keep taking your phone in and out. And I'm actually quite surprised, and I'm sure it's going to happen. It'll be voice controlled. I mean, I'm sure that remote
keep
will actually
tying these platforms together.
Yeah. I don't see why it isn't already. I mean, if you're going to have your phone in it, you already got it.
It might be.
You've already got it there.
I didn't see them say it was, and I didn't say it wasn't. But what was really amazing with Daydream for me is the way, as you've just said, Brett, the way they've taken full virtual reality engines and condensed it down to phones. And they say it will be a Daydream every single phone, the HTC, the Motorola, anyone that's playing in that space, their next top-end phone will be Daydream ready. It's not such a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a chip, you know.
But VR as an idea as well is also, it's not entirely mainstream at the moment. It's still quite niche. To have VR is like, woohoo, yeah, it's still got that sort of gimmick feel to it at the moment.
Yeah.
By doing this with Daydream, you're going to get a lot more people exposed to it and playing with it. We're going to see another new like slant of evolution, digital evolution coming out of this, which is exciting.
I think also the challenge on a mobile phone is when you're really in a deep VR experience, you've got to have sensors on either corner, you know, when you're walking around. Otherwise, you're going to walk into walls and you have no idea.
Well, maybe that's where that Project Radar Soli is going to come in as well.
Maybe that's what they're going to do.
Okay, but before you get to that,
start figuring out your dimensions. Yeah.
Because that we're going to talk about, that's actually one of the reasons I chose Verse. Verse, if you plug your headset in,
that's it.
And you look behind you. So like if you're watching a scene.
So AR and VR combined.
Follows you. So it actually starts to follow you. So like the one Verse that I watched was Muse, the band.
Yeah.
They're on stage. But there's like a whole shooting and action scene going on behind you. So if you turn to the left or right and you look at the car that's doing the shooting, you then hear the gunshots. It overrides Muse's singing. So they've already got it. Okay. So you just mentioned Tango. Okay, so from Daydream. I mean, like, it wasn't like they hadn't blown us away already. Then we moved to Tango. Brett, you want to... Brett, do you want to pick up on Tango?
Brett.
Flip a coin.
Bomber.
So Bomber, B2, B3. Yep.
Bomber, B2, B3, yeah. I have to admit, I'm really excited about it because I love the way that they're using the imagery to actually try and map out your environment. And then opening up the platform so that developers can really start playing with it. And some of the examples they used in a room and then throwing a tap into the room and then turning that tap on and filling it with water. So it's not, you know, the imagery is a bit rough.
Yeah.
So I think it's still early days. Again, in my notes, I put this, you know, give it a year or two.
Yeah.
But you combine, again, you can start seeing the puzzle pieces coming together.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's scary or really exciting.
The nice thing about those things, I mean, it's kind of like Raspberry Pi was for hardware and trying to do component-based development and stuff. Mm. You've now got that where you're able to visualize a room, throw in a tap. It's problem-solving at its purest.
Yes.
So you're starting to, you're going to get a lot more people into dev, into this environment of being able to create their own apps because of just VR or engagement.
Imagine just if you have a pair of glasses with the screen. And you are powered through your phone, you're tired of this current real world, and you want to wander around a world that is Disneyland, for instance, and it'll just change your exact environment into Disneyland. People will look like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
You can smell the smoked turkey legs at Frontierland.
There's no need for certain kind of prohibited drugs, I guess.
We actually spoke about that last week with the why do we need drugs when you can actually get the same sort of
with VR
and
VR.
You can really escape with VR.
But I mean, with Tango, what one of the things that I really, really also was impressed with is that when they map out your environment, so they create your Disney World or your Candyland or whatever it is, it also position logs it and memorizes it so that if you want to share that experience with someone else at a later stage, all you have to do is fire it up and it rebuilds it.
Yeah.
It remembers that that was the dimension. It's done that whole exercise already. It just files it and files it under N.
So take the show back 2 years where we used to talk about things like the price of storage and how that's plummeting. And now you pay 20 cents a month for a gigabyte of storage. I mean, this is pretty much nothing. We're now seeing the effect of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just and speed, unlimited
and price
storage
for connectivity as well.
Connectivity, all these things that we got excited and must have been really boring if you weren't a techie.
Yeah.
But now you can see the exciting parts coming to realm. We're unlocking
it's
all this
like
capability.
It's been like the culmination or the climax of this perfect storm that's been developing for developers.
Mm. Well, you're
talking about
developers.
developers.
You see, I know where you're going. It starts with and it's not. It's Firebase. Hey, Brett.
Oh, we've already done two things on Firebase. I'm loving it.
Okay, so take us through what Firebase is, because I guarantee you that a lot of people that haven't watched the IO have no clue what it is.
Sorry, we're not going to be able to like put this into ordinary man's terms. If you don't know developer and stuff,
this is
Firebase
definitely more
gonna,
tech. I mean, this is dev space, but it's important. It's part of IO.
For sure. Sorry, I'm just dealing with my own tech here.
Go for it, Brett.
No, you give us the elevator pitch.
Okay.
How do you sell it in 11 seconds? Firebase is too cool for that.
Yeah, it is too cool. So Firebase is really for developers.
Yeah.
And they've looked at it and said, well, how do we do mobile backend as a service? Which I think is a really nice way to summarize it.
Actually,
so
that is perfect, yeah.
They've given you a database. They've given you processing power. They've given you... threading capabilities. They've bundled in this time a whole lot of analytics as specific to the mobile environment. They've built in a monetization capability.
Right.
I love that part. I'm an ex-ad mobster. I see ad mobs being deeply integrated in there. So if you're an app developer, you instantly start making money on advertising, for instance. So they're really bringing together every single tool set. And I believe they've also started, excuse me, on the editing side of things. You can now literally edit in the cloud your code and submit it. So it's not just using different types of Perforce or whatever offline.
Yeah.
What's the Android one? I can't remember what it's called. Then did a whole lot of announcements on that on the APK 2.10.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Studio, Android Studio.
Yeah. 92% of the top 125 apps are using Android Studio.
Unbelievable. So they're really starting to understand the developer ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I think as a South Africa development ecosystem, or our ecosystem in South Africa,
yeah,
we've got a lot of lessons to take out of there.
Yeah,
it's quick to learn a new language. It's quick to code. It's quick to release. It's
multi-platform deployed.
All multi-platform.
Yep. Android, web, and
all
iOS.
In the cloud. And guys, they kept on saying it. It's
free. It's free.
That's
freaking free.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to go on. They're going to say, when you hit 1 million users, yeah, we're going to start charging you. But when you hit 1 million users,
you're helping them anyway.
you're making enough money.
Yes. Isn't that the thing that really is what is so exciting about Google? Is the fact that these guys don't sit down and go, okay, we have a board. We've got shareholders. We need to make sure we return investment. So here you can have it for only, it's always for only $29.99.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is for free. Go out there, be awesome, build cool shit for us. We'll make money. You'll make money. We all make money. And hey, we'll take that money and put it into the next best thing. And that's, but I mean, I think the one part that was left out in Firebase, for, and again, it is for developers, is that your analytics tools are there, your crash reports are there. So it's basically a dashboard that also lets you build. So you don't have to go to a dashboard for reports and then a dashboard to load. It's just one stop.
But even more important, it's been deeply integrated into Compute. Mm. For our listeners who don't know what Compute is, that is basically getting access to millions of servers instantly to crunch gigabytes and gigabytes and petabytes of data in seconds. So, you know, when you're error reporting and your bug lists and all that kind of
test
stuff.
Labs.
And test labs. And you just put all this data together, crunch it out instantly.
Yeah.
Well, that one of the plugins that was actually your APK
very
analyzer.
Fast. Yeah.
I mean, it actually analyzes the APK straight away. So it'll
how
find
powerful
any
was
bugs
that?
Before.
Do you think that they maybe built Firebase as their own back-end engine to start developing this instant apps and all these things? And we're like, hey, this is freaking awesome. Let's just.
But
let's
that's how Google Docs and all those kind of platforms
just
were
came
built.
About. Yeah.
They were like, well, we needed to collaborate.
Yes.
So let's build this. And by the end of it, they went, wait, we've built a competitor to Microsoft. And so far, I think they've done a pretty shoddy job to sell it, but it's a very powerful tool set.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the offshoots of this conversation is that if you're not Google, don't try and make it from scratch, because these guys are making things.
I have that problem sometimes.
Yes. Well, I think most people have this problem. They all think that
my tech guys.
I want to try and make it. Look at me. And that sort of pride before purpose gets in the way sometimes. Just
do something that you're going to solve for your own user. A problem that you're going to solve for your own user.
Exactly.
Leverage everything else. Yeah. You get there in half the
time.
I mean,
Brett, exactly. You've walked the Google shoes for years, and you've seen it firsthand. Yeah. Give someone the freedom to come up with an idea. Get someone else to say, this is a cool idea. They build it, and the rest of the world benefits from it, you know?
For me, the open source environment, I don't think it's a dirty word in enterprise. Open source. Oh, Linux. No, man. Share your ideas. Oh, I'm not sharing my IP. No, you're not sharing your IP. Well, you are, but really, the competition now is speed to market. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you've got something great. If no one else is, you know, just advance it. Open source.
The lean startup collaborative
legend.
Idea.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Why do things twice if someone else has done it already?
Oh, well, that's the thing. On the only thing that I thought from a naming convention that disappointed me was cloud. Google Cloud.
People have only just gotten the hang of cloud, so they had to kind of stick with it for a while.
But, you know, Firebase.
Firebase.
Super
is
cool.
So awesome.
Espresso to check how your app runs. And then what do? Google Cloud.
So Google Cloud. I mean, I just think cloud full stop is bad. Because it makes it really difficult. So we're going to put all our servers now in the cloud. So you can imagine a CFO going, looking up.
They do.
What? In the cloud. Really? What? Okay, we're not doing that. That sounds unsecure.
Yeah. I mean, the irony is it's actually more landlocked than anything else because it needs servers to help the servers process.
These massive data centers.
I really do like your idea of everybody combining or contributing to the cloud source.
I think we've got a little project to do after this.
Should we stop talking about that? Yeah.
Don't mind this.
You don't want to make
we're just going to build something on Firebase quickly.
Forget that. Yeah, exactly.
What did come out of cloud, though, which would help on your project, is the machine learning. Okay, so it was machine learning and then the computer vision and speech.
Oh, our little project.
On Google Cloud. One of the announcements they made was that they actually have written it with machine learning in mind. So it's not just a repository. It's not just a server. They've put machine learning into it with voice and with vision and speech. components. So now when you're using, so let's rewind back to the beginning of the show and home and assistant. When someone says your flight has been delayed, straight away it goes up to cloud. It goes, hold on a second.
Let
me check how many other flights have been delayed. Ah, 32% of Delta, actually that was quite generous, 82% of Delta have been delayed.
Yeah.
So now anyone that has pissed a Delta app on their phone, we need to tell them straight away, guys, don't rush. Stop and take in the flowers because we can show you an 82% uptime. So they've taken learning into a cloud to learn off the transactions that are going through the cloud.
But just to give you an idea of how big this cloud is, when you do a search on Google and it starts pulling up the results, each time it's doing that refresh, it's actually using 10,000 cores to process it that on one person. 10,000 cores.
You know, the unfortunate thing is that when you develop something from scratch as yourself and you've got your one little client who's got her one little budget and they're like, why isn't it that fast?
I've got one server on it.
Why isn't it as fast as Google? It's on a Google server, damn it.
Well, we could put it onto Google's cloud.
Show me
and we'll
budget.
Solve your problem.
Yeah. Well,
my favorite though
just
is
just move
also,
everything to Firebase. We'll remake everything and it will be faster.
It's not even how we've built it. The first thing you do is, who is your ISP? So-and-so. Yeah. What speed line do you have? Oh, we've just upgraded to 1 meg. That's why.
Yeah.
Puss lap. I mean, that's like, it doesn't matter what we do. You've got 1 meg. Of course, you're going to sit there while you're waiting for 20 gigs to download.
But it happens.
The naming convention for me was a bit iff, but the fact that they're going to take vision and speech and learn from it. I mean, you were just talking now with your photographs. That's what they've been doing.
So
Google,
dude,
Photos.
The knowledge graph that they've been building over the last 10 years has literally allowed them to identify and understand completely 1 billion objects. So they'll understand the context of when I say Brett right now.
Which Brett?
Mm. Which Brett?
They won't.
They'll go, I know exactly which Brett he's talking to.
I can hear by the tone that you like B2 better than B1.
Yes, I use an intellectual tone there,
you
of course.
You do remember I have the mic controls.
Rather just, Brett, shush!
Boom, there he goes. He's gone.
I think you just muted your own.
Awesome. Well, you said shush, so I muted myself.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. But yes, the one thing that they boast in cloud platform is the future-proof infrastructure.
Yep.
What a cool position to be in. I mean, they're Google, sure. But like, what an awesome position to go, what are we going to put on our website? I know. Future-proof infrastructure. It's here to stay. They're not fucking around. Excuse my French, but they're not. They're literally saying, we're here. It's happening.
Guys,
use it.
I used to sell this cloud infrastructure in my old life in Google, and I'd spend a lot of time with CIOs.
They had cloud in the early 1800s.
Yeah. just in case anyone doesn't know what finger I'm showing.
Google it.
Yeah, context this.
What fingers, Brett, showing?
I had CIOs moan to me saying, there's no ways the infrastructure running in cloud could be as cool as my AX400.
Well, they've still got it. They put it in their cardboard box when they left the company.
I think to quote something you told me a while ago, like, don't waste your time trying to convince those kind of people that they're
just
wrong.
Just move on. Exactly.
Well, thank God
next.
You did that
just
quote.
Go.
It wasn't one of those Saturday night quotes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Told
no,
you
no, that there's
should.
One or two other ones, but yeah. I think we've all got a certain amount of quote history we can get into.
Some of the other, we're getting, I mean, I didn't expect us to be able to get through everything. It's 3 days and 60 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, what jumped for you guys? What was your, what haven't we discussed, B2, that you pretty much only got one, and then I've got B3 to have one as well. But give us one more that jumped at you, and then, we're pretty much done.
I just think the end comment for, and I can't pronounce the guy's name. What's his name, B3?
Sundar Pichai.
Sundar Pichai. He closed the whole conference with what was previously thought to be impossible might actually become possible.
You've just ruined the end of the day.
No, but look, we're close to the skinny end of the conversation now. So
own it.
Yeah. So, but that was, for me, like, it's people say this, and we've all said this. We've all said, hey, it's all going to become possible. Yay. This new piece of tech is all
perhaps.
I needed. Yes, maybe, sort of, kind of, in a funny sort of way. If I get that thing of a budge and this huge refuge, we're good. But that was the thing that stood out for me. I mean, you had to get through all of the amazing to get to that one line and talk about context. That guy, if ever that line had context, that Google I/O 2016 was it. And it really is true, because it is all going to be possible with some of the new things coming out.
But that's the thing, though. What he's saying is exactly what I said just now. I'm not being impatient and trying to get to 2017. They're laying down the gauntlet. They're basically saying, what we're showing you now is real. It exists. Look, you've just seen it. There it is on stage. Hold on to your seats for what's coming, because we've got a whole freaking year to take this shit and make better shit for you. You know what I mean? It's just, it's unbelievable what these guys have come up. B3, what did you...
I think we've actually covered quite a bit. I mean, I do have a comment on what Google didn't really do much on.
Ooh, that's nice.
So I was a bit disappointed to see not much was done on Google Maps. So they've just released all the offline kind of capability, and that's really nice, and they're kind of iterating away. But with all these platform plays, and we're talking about context and understanding context, I'd like to have seen something interesting
What did you expect to see that you did? I mean, as an example, they've got Waze. They've got this real-time stuff. What else?
So I don't even think it's a merging of the two, or it's trying to go with something kind of what we would expect. It's a bit what happened in I.O. We had no idea what to expect, and they blew our minds away.
Yeah.
And yet location was so fundamental to it
Yes.
that I didn't see the role that Maps played. What I also didn't see much of was their Chrome Play. I mean, they spoke a little bit about the integration of Android and Chrome, which they hinted at last year. It didn't evolve, and maybe they need to be doing a piece. Excuse me, my voice has got a bit crackly.
This is winter radio
voice. Yeah, it is a winter radio voice. I'm usually quite high-pitched. But I think Google often does these big announcements, says, yes, we'll deliver. And from I.O. to I.O., they seem to just drop off.
Isn't the hardware, Chrome, that side, something that they hold back and reserve basically like for a week or two before the Apple event, and they kind of say...
No, but probably, actually.
I mean, Samsung does that.
Yeah.
They always release a piece of hardware that would be a direct competitor, because by then they know what it is.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you, and we're getting to wrap up. But I was also disappointed that Chrome itself wasn't mentioned. They talked about a book, like the Chrome book will finally come out.
Mm.
No one's going to give up their machines just for that just yet. But what about the cool stuff with Chromecast and Chrome Audio and all these APIs I got, now that they've got voice and search in that with throughout the house or throughout the office? Yeah, just they kind of like left it alone. Unless there's
maybe they wanted to highlight Home, I guess.
But yeah, they kind of but Chromecast got bundled in with Home there. It was kind of thrown as like a native integration with what it was.
Yeah. I mean, with Maps, just back to your point, when I was in Australia last week or week before, when I was walking using Google Maps, it showed me the building where one of my contacts works. His name came up. Cool. So they didn't mention that.
His freaking name, man.
I didn't know that, but his name came up. It's like, there's his name. That's where he works. You tap Brett. It, brings up. Yeah. No, it wasn't.
That's why you didn't
visit. I would have said that. But that is cool. Now, these are subtle things. There we are. We've just unpacked it now. You didn't know about it.
I mean, I must admit that Google Map experience in the US is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And I really don't think we get to appreciate that experience here. That really needs a
deeper... Your phone here feels like a dumb phone.
It does, when you've been
there. You go there and you're like, my phone can do this? I didn't know it could do
it's
this.
It's that speed, though. That's the thing. Awesome. When you really get to see what your device
is. What did you download in Australia at the App Store?
I was at iOS then. But I pulled down a 1.2 gig app in like 30 seconds.
So connectivity. Boom. I mean, but that's the thing. Connectivity is improving. So is the things that we can do on our phones. And if it's all going to improve, like it only begs the question, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, we've been told a whole bunch of stuff, but the question is, what's next?
We've broken a few traditions today, so I think I'm going to actually finish.
That was my wrap up, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to finish with my wrap up and my thought of the day. It's actually quite simple. Just Google it. I mean, there it is. So, guys, it's the first time I can say I've had a threesome that's lasted an hour. I'm quite impressed with the staying power.
Was it good for you, Brett?
It was very good for me. Was it good for you, Brett?
It was always good, Brett. Thank you, Brett.
Thanks, okay, Brett.
Brett, thank you. Awesome,
Brett. Well, definitely after this one, guys. Until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.